my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Hey everyone, welcome to episode 69 of my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast. Insert your joke here now. We'll pause, let you giggle. And then move on with the show. Or maybe I'm the only one thinking those thoughts. But joining me on the line, my good friend Chad Smart. And we are talking WrestleMania, our WrestleMania memories of the events that we've been to. We've been to 8 of the last 10. And we are heading to Arlington, just talking a few minutes ago about our trip to Dallas. Chad, are you excited?
I am. The closer it gets, even though, and I think this is a theme that will come out in this podcast, even though I'm not too excited about WrestleMania itself, I think the entire weekend of events is something to be excited for. That's really where the interest is, not just in one card.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And when we go through kind of our memories of some of our favorite moments or things that we have done on these trips, they're not all WWE related. You know, we've had some great experiences and met some fun people along the way. One thing, you know, some of our listeners, some of our followers, I hate using the word follower because it makes us sound like a cult or something. I only wish. But anyway, they've asked about WrestleMania. Some of them are going for the first time and have asked for advice. You know, what should I do? What should I see? You know, just go and have fun and kind of know what you want to do, but also plan to spend a lot of money and plan to spend, if you go to some of these things, like Access, for example, you're going to spend a lot of time in line. Whether you're an autograph hound or just wanting to see some of the attractions and some of the, you know, the Hell in a Cell or the, I think it's the Elimination Chamber this year that they'll have set up. So, you know, just plan on spending more money than you typically would on a regular vacation, because as much fun as it is, WWE does charge a premium for some of their events and attractions.
And especially if you do the WrestleCon convention as well, where everybody that you want to get a photo or autograph with is also a paying individually type thing. It's not just one fee get you in and get you whatever you want. You're going to be paying $20 to $40 per person.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And I remember, gosh, I think it was when we were in New Orleans. It might have been the year before. It was the year that Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior were doing WrestleCon. And I think their tickets were $100 or $150 a pop. So be prepared. You are going to pay steep prices if you want to meet some of the bigger legends of the business. So our WrestleMania adventure started in 2006, 10 years ago, with WrestleMania 22. And for me, this was kind of a dream come true. I had always wanted to go to WrestleMania. I think Chad and I probably started watching wrestling around the same time. I remember watching the very first one on closed circuit television that night. I know it had been recorded earlier in the day, but we watched it that night. And from that moment, I knew that I wanted to one day go, and I never thought it would become a reality. Then I met Chad Smart, who, you know, you figured out a plan, and you got us there that first year through the package system that the WWE did. And it was a lot of fun. It was close enough that we could drive, and it was a great road trip with another friend of ours, Jeremy. So what do you have any specific memories or moments from that that weekend?
Well, I think for that weekend, obviously, I guess the big WWE-related event would have been Bret Hart being inducted into the Hall of Fame. It was Bret's return to WWE. Even though he didn't appear at WrestleMania the night after, still seeing his induction speech was something you never thought you would see. the highlight for me from that trip was the Ring of Honor show. Just because at the time, I know you weren't that knowledgeable of Ring of Honor. Like, you knew a couple people.
Right.
And Jeremy was, like, a big Samoa Joe fan at the time. And this was during the CZW invasion angle they were running. And, you know, I just remember being there, and we were sitting, I think, like, third, fourth row, and me being the masked wrestler mark that I am, I'm a huge fan of Delirious, who had just started appearing on Ring of Honor. And so I had this homemade Delirious mask. And so I'm wearing it during his match, and, you know, he got beat. And then I believe it was Rocky Romero just sort of keeps beating him down after the match. And he's using some colorful language to tell Delirious that he's a joke and he doesn't belong there. And then this whole time I'm just standing up booing, you know, and trying to cheer Delirious on. And Rocky looks over and points at me, and it's like, and that guy over there in the mask doesn't mean a thing. Cleaned up language, of course. And I mean, that was like, you know, that was the markout moment because I got myself over. even though on the DVD, you can't hear or see anything because Ring of Honor production values are horrible for that time. But then I also remember that was the end of the match, or the end of the show, was a big brawl. Midway through the show was a big brawl between the CZW contingent of Chris Hero and Necro Butcher versus Adam Pearce and Samoa Joe. And I remember them coming over, fighting in our section, and everybody's like scattering and chairs are going everywhere. I think Joe's like picking up chairs and throwing them at Necro Butcher. And I remember there being like this seven, 8 year old kid, just like wide-eyed and disbelief, and Jeremy's like, use the kid, pick the kid up. And this kid's like, well, no. So I think that, and then the main event of that show was Bryan Danielson, whatever, I have no idea what the guy's name actually is now anymore. Bryan Danielson versus Roderick Strong. And I remember that match did not start until midnight. And so, and then we left because we're like, we're not staying here for a match that ended up going, I think, 57 minutes. So that, those are my highlights from the first trip. And then, at WrestleMania, having we were sitting fourth row behind the announce booth, which actually, if you go back and watch WrestleMania 22, when they do the first sweeping jib shot of the arena, you can see Jeremy, Kevin and I, dressed as the Spirit Squad, cheering. I remember there were an Asian contingent behind us who wanted to get photos with us.
That's right.
Jeremy's like, ah, Nintendo, Mario. And they're like, yeah. Yeah, that's probably not a good story to share, but it's a good memory.
The Samoa Joe match, because I, you know, partly to get under your skin, called Samoa Joe Umaga 2.0. Or was it Rikishi 2.0? I guess it was Rikishi because Umaga wasn't around yet. I called him Rikishi 2.0. But yeah, that I don't think I've laughed that hard at a wrestling show when that kid and the look on his face when they were just beating the crap out of each other, like literally inches away from us all. So that was hilarious. And with the whole, first time being at Mania, and we were dressed like the Spirit Squad, as Chad mentioned, and we had so many people before the show kind of stopping us and, you know, taking pictures and probably making fun of us, but you know what? We didn't care. We were having a good time. So, 22, a lot of good memories, and stopping and eating at that crappy little restaurant on the way there, too. I can't even remember what it was called, but that kind of sticks out in my mind, too.
I know it was a Dairy Queen wannabe.
Yeah.
Hot eats or something like hot treats or something like that.
That's a whole nother story for another show. We took WrestleMania 23 off, and then 24, you and I headed to Orlando, which is where WrestleMania 33 is going to be. I liked this trip because, number one, it was Ric Flair's retirement match. Ric Flair, my all-time favorite, so seeing his last, his last WWE match was, meant a lot, and seeing him go into the Hall of Fame the night before really kind of stands out to me as being special on that night, that card. But also just the whole atmosphere in Orlando. I liked the fact that we did the package deal again, and WWE provided this time two tickets to Universal Studios. So getting to go and kind of hang out at the theme parks and just be goofy for a little bit. And then, you know, on a whim, deciding to go to Monday Night Raw and it turning into probably one of the most memorable Raws that I've ever seen, with the whole Flair retirement and saying goodbye to him and the Four Horsemen coming out. And it was just an incredible night. And that night, too, we're on the opposite side of the camera, so you can see some of the cutaway shots. We are in that as well.
Yeah, that was probably the highlight of all the trips that we've been on. That's probably the biggest thrill because, as you said, we both kind of got into wrestling at the same time, and my first live wrestling event was a high school gym, and the main event was Harley Race versus Ric Flair. And as I always say, as a wrestling fan, if you watch that match and are not a wrestling fan by the end of it, that you're not going to be a wrestling fan, because those are two of the greatest. Just, it's like watching Magic Jordan and Larry Bird go one-on-one. Yeah, the fact that we weren't even going to go to Raw and then ended up with the seats that we did by just buying tickets at the door is amazing. And it was a great time. And, you know, I'm looking forward to next year to going back to Orlando, but I'm hoping that the area around the Citrus Bowl has been redeveloped, because out of all the trips we've been, that's probably the worst venue as far as parking and getting to that we've been to.
I would agree. I felt probably the most unsafe, not that we were ever in any danger or threatened or anything, but it was definitely the sketchiest of neighborhoods as far as parking and having to walk and make that trek to the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah. And hopefully this time WWE won't light any fans on fire after the show.
This is true.
Yeah, I mean, the one memory that I have from this is probably one that I can't even share. This was before they started doing Access, and so if you did the travel package, and now, obviously, they have Access, and you can get free tickets to Access, which will get you autographs and photos. But before, if you did the travel package, they gave you your own private autograph session. And I remember we had Ciampa and Edge, where Ciampa was ECW champion, Edge was WWE champion at the time.
Well, world heavyweight, I think.
World champion, okay. So, you know, getting a picture with both of them with their belts is kind of cool. Yeah, and there's a story there that it's between Kevin and I, so I will not tell the story.
And Edge and Chavo.
Yes. But yeah, and we also met Beth Phoenix, Lillian Garcia, Snitsky. But I think the highlight, too, beyond wrestling, was going to Universal Studios, because Universal Florida is probably hands down my favorite theme park. So that's also why I'm looking forward to going back to Orlando next year.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Now, WrestleMania 25, I think the card in general sucked.
I think we're going to spend more time talking about this than WWE spent time thinking about putting it together.
Yeah, considering that it was, you know, 25, we thought it was going to be a big year, you know, something big was going to happen. I'm racking my brain. I don't remember a whole lot about the trip. I do remember walking to that costume shop to get the spirit gum for my Hulk Hogan mustache.
Oh, yeah.
And then we took a train or a bus or something back, because we didn't figure out at the time that we could have done that. Did we go? I don't even remember. Oh, we went to a Ring of Honor show where Kamala was at, right? Was that Houston?
Yes, that was Kamala made a surprise appearance as a surprise opponent for Bobby Dempsey, who had the Kamala paint on his chest, even though he didn't know Kamala was going to be his opponent. So that was, in the world of wrestling logic, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. And then as we were leaving the show, Kamala was just sitting by the doorway in his street clothes with his little suitcase by. And I mean, that was, that removed the curtain.
Yo, well, with him signing autographs too. I mean, that was really the first time to me that I kind of saw him out of character, if you will. And he's been on this podcast since then, so we know he's not really from deep, dark Uganda, that's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, the 25 was, and that's one where we weren't going to go, because I said we went to 22 just because it was in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And then we ended up on 24 because of the rumors of it being Flair's last match. And we're like, okay. But at the time, we weren't doing, like, it wasn't a yearly trip for us.
Right, that's right.
And so then 25, I remember they actually put tickets for 25 on sale while we were in. If you were part of the package deal in Orlando, you could get. Mm-hmm. You could buy tickets for 25, and friends of ours that were there were like, "Oh, are you going?" We're like, "No, we don't really care." And then we kind of got to thinking about it, like, "Oh, it's 25. It's, you know, big anniversary. It's going to be awesome." And then they gave us Triple H versus Randy Orton, and what is probably the worst WrestleMania main event ever. And so we ended up doing it, and we did the Ring of Honor show that night. Which is the one where Jerry Lynn defeated Nigel McGuinness to become champion. And I believe Booker T had set up kind of his own version of WrestleCon. And so we, like, walked around that. It was very small. And I remember Chris Nowinski was doing a speech, talking, I guess, concussions or whatnot. And we were standing maybe 5 feet from where they were talking. And we weren't even paying attention. Like, we were trying to figure out what we were doing, where we wanted to go. And I remember security coming over and be like, you have to leave this area. This is the speech. People paid extra to hear. And we're like, then why is it out in the open?
Yeah.
Why? Like, we're not even listening, but fine. Okay, whatever. But yeah. The one thing I will say good about Houston was the public transportation system. You hopped on a train. Everything. The hotel we were staying at was more... Which I guess we weren't in downtown Houston. We were in, like, the old downtown. Apparently, Houston has grown. And so we were kind of in a dead area of town, but we were close enough to a train station that we could just take the metro down to the stadium. And then coming out, it was free to leave, so that was great. And that was the first year that they did access. And it was sold out, so we didn't end up doing it because we didn't know what it was before we got there. And then... we got there, it was too late. But yeah, Houston was probably one on the low end of memorable trips.
Yeah, I would agree. I will say... I
guess the only memorable thing was Ricky Steamboat coming out of retirement and mm-hmm. being amazing because he's Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, and I will say too about that one is, as a lifelong fan of the Von Erich family, watching them or seeing them get inducted into the Hall of Fame, to me as a fan... was pretty incredible because, like I said, Von Erich's carry specifically is what brought me into wrestling in the first place, watching the cage match with Kerry and Ric Flair back in 82. We'll talk more about this with the Freebirds when they get inducted too, because we're going to do a Hall of Fame show. But yeah, that was probably my WWE highlight from that, was the Hall of Fame stuff, because Steamboat, as you mentioned too, went in, and that was, I believe, Austin was the headliner that year.
Yes. Yeah.
26 in Phoenix was fun because I flew out to Burbank a few days. Oh, I guess we just opened the curtain here. And spent a few days in Hollywood, or a day or two, I guess, in Hollywood. And yeah. For the first time I'd been out there, first time I'd been that far out west, actually. And we road tripped then to Phoenix. And that was a lot of fun. Now, to me, the funny part of this story is when we got to the hotel, because we booked these trips, and the first 2 years, because they were the package deals, we had our own beds in the hotel. And when we got to Houston, it was one bed in the room. And so I remember we standing in the lobby in line, and you said to me, I specifically asked for two beds, and we check in, we get upstairs, and there's one bed. Yeah. And it kind of became a standing
way
joke.
More than you probably...
People don't care. In fact, they can't wait to see us in our wrestle ruse next year.
Yeah.
I am married with children. But Phoenix was a lot of fun. Would you... the card itself was all right, and nothing really stood out. The Hall of Fame, I think, and I'm not disrespecting Ted DiBiase at all, but I would say probably, I don't want to say the weakest Hall of Fame class, but there was nothing that night that really, or the weekend in general for the wrestling part of it, that stands out to me, you know, this many years later, 6 years later. What about you?
Yeah, I'm trying to rack my brain with something memorable. Because I think 26 was also one where it's amazing that we've done all these, but really only like the last two or three were like, yes, we're going, like a year in advance, we're like, yeah, we're going to go.
Yeah.
And I think 26 was...
we were Money, yeah, Inc. That was fun, and we met Chris Hero.
Yeah, Money Hero was good, running into Chris Hero and some guy named Tyler Black after the show. kind of cool. And I think that's probably our best cosplay,
yeah,
performance. But yeah, I mean, the show itself was kind of there. The Bret Hart Vince McMahon match went on way too long, and I'm trying to think. I remember we did Access, but I don't really remember much. The only thing I remember from Access is we got there, and
that was the year we did it twice. Remember, because I it just dawned on me that first night we were there, we sat in on the. Panel group or whatever they call it. What do they call that? Focus group.
Yeah, we bought tickets for
Friday night.
At Friday night, and then I'd gotten contacted about, you know, if you want to take part in this focus group, they'll take a couple hours. We'll give you tickets to another session so you don't, you know, so you miss it. And I think probably, now that you bring that up, that focus group was probably the highlight, and I'll get to that in a minute, but I just remember the first time going to Access, because our hotel was out by the airport.
Mm-hmm.
We'd taken the metro in, and we got to Access, and you had your video camera with you.
Yes.
And, oh, there's no video camera, it was allowed. And we're like, okay, is there a place we can check it? No. So we had to go all the way back to the hotel, drop off the video camera, and then come back. And to me, that was just kind of, like, the tickets didn't say anything about no video or cameras, and it kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
But then I remember getting into this focus group, and it was us and probably 10 other people, and I think there was one guy who was older than us. The rest were probably a good 10 years younger, at least, if not 20. And this turned out to be, when they were it was a focus group for the WWE Network, which, you know, would not come along for another couple of years, but they were trying to figure out what people were interested in and what they'd like to see, and there was this couple from, I believe, West Virginia, and hopefully they're not listening to this, and if they are, hopefully they don't remember us. But we're going around, and they're like, what would you like to see on the network? And almost everybody's like, oh, I'd like to see, you know, the old Raws from the Attitude Era, or the old Nitros, or, you know, you and I are like, oh, we'd like to see the World Class and Mid-South and, like, the old territories, because we're old. And then it comes to this girl, and they're like, oh, and like I said, she's probably 21 at the oldest. And she's like, would you like to see that too? Would you like to see all things? And she's just like, in thick West Virginia accent, and if you're from West Virginia, I apologize for the way I'm about to say this. But she's like, nah, I don't like watching people I don't know. And her boyfriend was like, yeah, it's true. I have a hard time getting her to watch old movies from the 90s.
This and was 2010. By the way,
yeah, I'm just like, and my whole thinking is like, it's a good thing you're attractive because you'll make somebody a great trophy wife, but that's harsh. But no, it's the focus group is good, and then I remember they took us back and let us cut in line to get autographs from the Hart Dynasty. So,
yeah, that's right.
But I don't remember much of Access itself, like, I don't remember the way it was set up or what was there or.
Well, we did the thing where they had the foam in the ring, and you jumped in that and fooled around. The Undertaker's graveyard, that was the first time we went through that.
Okay.
Trying to think. Those were the highlights, I guess.
Yeah.
A few of them, at least.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 27 was in Atlanta, and we were joined by our friend Travis. And we formed the Heenan family. And to me, that was the memorable part, because we decided to walk over to WrestleCon, because it was within, I say WrestleCon, was that technically a WrestleCon?
I think it's the company that does WrestleCon. I think it's whatever they were before.
Yeah, it was a pretty low-key version of it. It was in a hotel conference room, basically. And I remember we walked in, and we bought a ticket to meet Winter, who was Katie Burchill.
Yeah, Katie Lee Burchill.
In WWE, but she was Winter in TNA. And as we were walking in, I was dressed like Bobby Heenan. You were the Red Rooster, and Travis was the Brooklyn Brawler. And Terry Runnels spots us and, like, points at us and does the come hither thing with her finger. And I'm like, us? And she's like, yes, you. And so we go over there, and she wanted to take a picture with us, which I thought was really cool. And she, I told her this story. She was on the one-year anniversary show of the podcast here, and she chuckled. She said she remembered. I don't know if she really did, but in fact, I've got pictures on, when I record, the device I record this on, GarageBand, has a bunch of old pictures in my my iPictures or iPhotos, whatever they call it. And there are the pictures from that event and us dressed in our Heenan family regalia. So to me, that was probably the standout moment of the weekend.
Well, real quick for the WrestleCon story. Yeah, I remember being low-key and going there, and there was a line to get in, but you had, because they were selling, I think now it may be like you just go up to a table and purchase things straight from the person involved. But this one, they had tickets out front to where you bought everybody that you wanted to meet, and they give you a ticket and you take it in. And I remember the promoter guy walking by, and I'm like, asking him, like, oh, is there an admission charge? And he's like, no, there's no charge. I'm like, oh, okay. And so we just started walking on in, and he's like, stopped and like, berated us. Like, what are you doing? Did you buy something? I'm like, no, you did told us there was no admission fee. No, you have to buy a ticket. I'm like,
that's an admission fee.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. And so that's how we ended up with Winter, because I think it was like the cheapest one. Like, I don't really care. Yeah. But again, 27 was one. I think because of how lackluster 25 and 26 were, we were like, no, we're not going to go to 27. Like, you know. And then our friend Travis's wife contacted us and asked if we were going to go. And at the time, they were expecting their first child. And she's like, you know, this is probably like his last chance to get away. I'd really like, if he goes, could he join you? And we're like, oh, we're not going to go. And then I think I was home over Christmas and talking with you and talking with Travis. I'm like, you know what? Let's go. Let's just do it. Let's make it a good trip. And so it was, everything was done last minute, which made things more expensive because I think we bought everything off of StubHub.
Mm-hmm.
But I really liked, I remember our hotel not being the greatest. And you and Travis had gotten there early and had ran into Mean Gene Okerlund at
That's
the
right.
airport. And so I met you guys out for dinner, and you guys were just like, yeah, when you see this hotel, just remember it's cheap, something like that. It was like, but the good thing about it was all within walking distance, and I think Access, the Hall of Fame, and WrestleMania were all like on the same block.
Yes.
And then we're right next to Centennial Park or Olympic Park, whatever it's called. And so, as far as
we walked everything.
Yeah, everything was great. You just walked and you took the metro from the airport to the hotel. So getting around was easy. I remember this was the year that The Rock made his return and hosted WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And I am not a fan of The Rock, but I think The Rock has overstayed his welcome in the fact that he's still doing 1999 Rock and he hasn't evolved. And so I just remember that opening going on way longer than I thought it should, which in retrospect, watching it back, it's much shorter than I thought it was. And then him getting involved with the John Cena Miz match at the end, it just, I realized it set up the next year, but it, to me it didn't, I was not impressed with it. And then my other negative moment from the show was when we got into our seats, you know, there were a couple of families sitting in front of us, and we like, hey, you know, we're probably going to be a little obnoxious, but, you know, if it gets too much, just let us know. But, you know, we're just trying to have fun. And that's something that whenever we do, I know we can be a little bit loud and whatnot, but if we try to do it all in fun. It's not mean-spirited. It's not, it's not to be douchey.
Right.
It's just, I remember the last Raw that you and I attended in St. Louis in 2006, the main event was John Cena versus Umaga. And I remember we were cheering for Umaga, and there were people in front of us cheering for John Cena, and we kind of had like a little back and forth. And then when it's over, you're all high-fiving and going, like, oh, you know, you're just having fun. Well, these people came in and sat behind us, and they're like, and again, we were like, oh, you know, if we get to be obnoxious, you know, just let us know. And they're like, oh, don't worry, you know, we're going to have a couple drinks, and we'll probably be obnoxious too. And the guy's like, yeah, I got kicked out of the Hall of Fame last night because I was calling all the diva sluts and whores. And it's just like, you.
Yeah.
You're going to ruin this. And then this was the year that Snooki wrestled. And the guy who had gotten kicked out of the Hall of Fame, just with every match that went on that wasn't Snooki, he got more and more irate that they were saving Snooki for so late in the show. And then especially when the Triple H Undertaker match came on, and he was like, you know, just started swearing up a storm, like, this is, you know, why, how is this going on before Snooki? And it's like, no, you realize this is going to be a big match. Snooki match, no one's going to care about. It's not going to have any interest. So you want the crowd to kind of recoup and catch their breath, and then you give them the main event. Like, there, it's a pattern, you know.
Right.
It's a flow to the show. But, yeah, he just... I just remember that guy being all types of worked up over Snooki.
Well, yeah. I do remember. I had forgotten that until you just brought it back up. So, yeah, not a whole lot stood out to me from 27 as far as the Mania matches itself goes. WrestleMania 28 was in Miami, which I was looking forward to this because I hadn't been to Miami since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, though, I mean, we went to WrestleCon. We were Vince McMahon and Jesse Ventura. Got to meet a lot of Hall of Famers and future Hall of Famers who had been inducted since then. I liked that part of it. But overall, Miami just did not do much for me. I remember we took a cab over to the Dragon Gate show, and I remember it being very expensive. And thinking, good Lord, that was like Friday night. Like the first night we got there, I'm like, okay, we're off to a great start here. But
it's like, where's Uber?
Yeah, where's Uber when you need it? By the way, Uber, you can sponsor the show too if you'd like, just like you do JR and Stone Cold. But anyway,
or at least it was free rides in Dallas.
Yeah. But yeah, Miami, WrestleMania 28 did not stand out to me. That was the first once-in-a-lifetime matchup between The Rock and John Cena, of course. And I don't mind The Rock coming back, and we'll probably get more into that once we know more what he's going to be doing at 32 here on probably the next couple of weeks on the podcast. But yeah, nothing to me, and I do not go back. I have not, I should say, gone back yet and watched any of the Manias that we've been to. I need to do that one of these days. They're all there on the network. So I'd like to go back and kind of refresh my own memory here on what we saw.
You know, Miami, I had looked forward to it. And I actually, the week prior to Mania, had traveled to New York for the first time with friends of ours that we actually met in Chicago at 22. Our friends Jackie, who's from Sydney, Australia, and Gary, who's from Sheffield, England, I believe. I know it's England. I believe it's Sheffield. And Gary will be coming over. We'll be hanging out with him in Dallas. Jackie, unfortunately, her job prevents her from coming this year. But we've stayed in contact over the last 10 years. And I think that's one of the things I like about WrestleMania is the people that we've met that we continue to talk to. But I remember going to New York, and then we went down to Key West for a few days before hitting Miami, and you came in and joined us. And I think my other, probably the best memory that I have from that is you and Jackie and I were, our hotel was across from this place called Bayside Mall.
That's right.
And I remember we were at Chili's eating, and I wasn't paying attention. And I guess maybe this is just from living in Hollywood. I don't pay attention to people that walk past me because I'm used to just strange people, whatever. I remember we were sitting there eating, and these people walk by, And you're like, did you see who that was? And I'm like, no. Like, it was Skip Sheffield. And this was, he had been injured in, he'd been out for like over a year. And it was right before Ryback debuted. But at the time, no one knew who Ryback was. And I remember I was a huge Skip Sheffield mark. And I remember wanting to go down because there was a store in the mall that sold Skipper hats. And I wanted to go so badly and buy one and go up to him and be like, you know, can you sign this for me? I'm the leader of the Skippers, because that's what I would have called his fan base if he would have stayed Skip Sheffield. But I remember walking out then and seeing him eating whatever he was eating. So that was a highlight. And then the other one for me was I've been a Miami Dolphin fan for the last 30 years. So the fact that I actually got to go to Dolphin Stadium and see the statue of, I can't even, wow, this is really bad. I'm a fan. I can't even think of the guy, Don Shula. For some reason, I want to say Don Cornelius, and I know that was not correct. Point if you know who that is. But I have Don Shula statue out front, so I got a photo with that. And then our seats were on the field. And so, yeah, being on the field at the stadium was really cool, but the bad thing was where our seats were, because the stadium was outdoors for the lighting rig and everything, they had built these giant palm trees on the four corners of the ring, and our view was pretty much directly at a palm tree. And didn't know it until later, after we got back, that had we complained to somebody, they were actually moving people to other sections to where they could have seen. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, I remember The Rock and Cena. I remember Brodus Clay coming out and dancing with his mama or his mamas.
Yeah.
And trying to get you to call your mama. But I don't remember a whole lot else about the show offhand.
That wasn't King and Michael Cole too, was it? No, that was Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember Russell Khan and talking to Cole Cabana, who had been on All-American?
Yeah, it was AAPW still then.
AAPW show that you wrestled on. And so talking to Cole for a little bit, and we didn't buy anything from him, so he wasn't that cool to us. And then you got to see your good buddy Pac.
I did.
Yeah. But yeah, Miami was very disjointed in that everything was so far away from everything. Other than from our hotel, we could walk to the American Airlines Arena, which is where the Hall of Fame was. And I'm trying to think of who was even in that Hall of Fame class.
Let's see. That was the year Edge went in, I believe. He was the main eventer, if you will.
Yeah, Edge. Yeah, right. Edge, the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Dolphin Stadium was so far in the middle of nowhere that I think it's kind of like what Dallas is this year and what Phoenix was. It's like there's no easy way to get there without having a car. So keep that in mind if you're traveling to Dallas, that getting to the stadium could be a hassle.
Yes. Good advice there. Also, WrestleMania 29. This one, we added some more members to the group, too. Our friends Greg Davis and Adam Testa joined us for the journey. And I liked this one in the fact, again, it was more of the experience than the day itself, because it was colder than cold. It's MetLife Stadium, right?
Yes.
And I think it even started raining at the very beginning, but
yeah.
We got there, oh gosh, Wednesday, I think, the week of Mania, and spent a couple of days just kind of walking around in New York City, which was awesome because I hadn't been there since I was a teenager. So, you know, as an adult, you appreciate things a little differently, but loved being in New York City and went back actually the next year too. But we went to Ring of Honor, Chikara, and Shimmer, didn't we?
Yes.
I almost said Glow. That would have been fun. But yeah, I had a good time. Mania itself, that was the Hell in a Cell between Taker and Triple H that Chad loved so much. The main event, Cena winning back the championship.
Triple H, Hell in a Cell was 20.
Oh, yeah, it was 28.
Punk versus Undertaker.
Yes, 29 was Punk, Taker, and it was Triple H and Brock Lesnar. That's right.
Triple H and Brock Lesnar. And then Once in a Lifetime, twice.
Yes.
Which I still want to file a class action lawsuit.
Maybe we can get Lionel Hutz or Clarence Mason to join us on that and get something going. But yeah, it was more of the ambiance of New York and getting to go to Madison Square Garden, even though it wasn't an actual wrestling match. Being there for the Hall of Fame was kind of a mark out moment for me, because you know, for so many years you see and hear about MSG, and actually being there where so many great events, not just wrestling events, but so many great events in general had happened, was special to me.
Yeah, I enjoyed walking around New York. Like I said, I had gone there the first time 2 years prior, or the year prior. And I've been back every year since for some reason. I really like New York as a city. And I remember we were walking around, and I was getting a little annoyed, because every time I turn around, you and Adam, I don't know, Greg, it always seemed like you're on your phone, like playing games or texting, and I'm like, you're in the city, like put your phones down, like that's.
For the record, I was taking pictures, but
I think you're also eating a lot. So.
Oh man.
I don't know. I give you a hard time about it, but yeah, I mean.
Wait till I bring the selfie stick to Dallas.
But I remember, we were walking around, and actually Greg and Adam, we had gone down to the World Trade Center that was being built, and then at the time, the Statue of Liberty was closed because of hurricane damage that they were still recovering. So we walked down to Battery Park and looked out at the Statue of Liberty. We didn't actually get to go. And then I remember we got something to eat, and then Greg and Adam left, because they went to Evolve or Dragon Gate or some show back in Jersey. And so you and I spent the rest of the day walking around. And I think we ended up walking 12, 13 miles that day. It was awesome. But, yeah, I liked walking around New York. The Chikar show was good. Got to see Jushin Thunder Liger. The main event, I can't think of her name. I can go look at the photo right now. Female Chikara wrestler is no longer around.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. She wore a mask.
Just a second.
I can't think of her name. While he's looking that up, I ran into both Hulk Hogan and the Iron Sheik in the bathroom at that Chikara show, because WrestleCon was going on the other side of the building, and they had just one bathroom. And I remember they let Hogan go in, and they actually had a guard standing out front and wouldn't let anybody else go in while he was in there. So I thought that was funny. And then I was at a urinal peeing when I hear somebody coming up behind me, like grumbling and with an accent, and I turn around and it's the Iron Sheik being pushed up to the urinal next to me in his wheelchair, and I'm like, oh my god, only at WrestleCon, baby.
Saturine,
that's right.
Yeah, Saturine caught me out at like $15 for a photo, and Jakob Hammermeyer got me to spend $20 on a t-shirt that I never wore. So that's the other fun thing with WrestleCon and shows, is if you start talking to people, they'll ask you to buy things, and if you have a guilty conscience like me, you'll spend money on stuff you don't really want.
And we were dressed up because we were leaving straight from there and going to the Hall of Fame, which was back in the city. So, and we took a bus, and it took forever to get there. But I remember Mr. Touchdown calling me a nerd. He's like, hey, nerd, surely you've got a pin. And I did, because he was signing something for someone else. And so I that was kind of a standout for me, too, you know, because Mr. Touchdown's pretty damn cool.
And then the other thing I remember is getting to the arena for Mania. We just called a cab, got a cab from the hotel, and I think it was $20 for the four of us to go. And then afterwards, trying to get a cab back. And we're only like 3 miles away, hotel from the place. Trying to get a cab back, it was like going to be $20 a person.
Yeah.
And so I remember we just kept like turning everybody down. And then finally, as the crowd dispersed and there were still cabs waiting, the guys were like, okay, fine, $20 for, you know, the group. It was like, I think that's probably the worst. And someone has told me that New Jersey cabs are not regulated. So it's not like a, you get in and you just pay what the fare, what the meter reads. It's, they can negotiate a price. Yeah, that one was pretty bad. And then, of course, you had the Raw the next night, which was the first Raw that we've attended, with the exception of the Ric Flair ceremony in Orlando. Yeah, the Raw where Edge, or not Edge, Dolph Ziggler cashed in Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a shame looking back now that the response that Ziggler got on that night and where he is now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, that. And then, of course, you had the infamous Sheamus-Randy Orton match where the fans cheered for just about everybody else in the world except for those two guys.
Yeah, that was a rough night for them, for sure. Yeah. Not to speed you along, but my battery power is starting to drop here. So, and we're actually on our last Mania that we've been to, which is 30 in New Orleans. And this was a road trip one as well. Our friend Jackie joined us on the way there. We stopped in Tunica on the way and checked out Jerry the King Lawler Museum. I don't remember the name of the casino that it is, but we stayed there for the night. And it was kind of cool. I'm glad we added that to the trip.
Yeah, that was a good trip. At the time, Jackie was working at a ski lodge in Canada, so I actually drove up from Illinois, mid-central Illinois, into Banff, Alberta, Canada, and then drove back, picked you up, and then headed down to New Orleans. So it was quite the road trip. I would still rather do that than drive to Vegas anytime soon. but yeah, and then when we got to New Orleans, when we got to our hotel, much like, I guess, Phoenix, where we were surprised by one bed. This time we had two beds. But I remember checking in, the guy's like, oh yeah, and by the way, the shower is, you know, European-style communal shower. I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, your shower, your room's here, but the shower's like down the hall, and like it's just one shower.
Well, and the toilet, too. Yeah, there was no toilet in the room.
Oh yeah, yeah. So luckily, I mean, we didn't, it wasn't an issue. I don't think anyone else, I think there was one time where I was taking a shower and someone tried to get in, but yeah, it was an interesting location, to say the least, but we were within walking distance of Bourbon Street and other things. I would have liked to spend more time and done more sightseeing things in New Orleans, but yeah, that was a fun trip and, you know, last appearance of the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, and well, running into... And I don't know how much that you, and I can edit this part out if I have to, but running into some connections that you have with WWE and kind of hanging out with some of the NXT guys that night, that was a lot of fun. I had a good time, obviously, doing that.
I would say, you know, we were heading down Bourbon Street, hanging out on Bourbon Street with some NXT guys. The Ascension were there, Tyler Breeze. And Mojo Rawley, who lives up to his gimmick. The man does not get hyped. The man stays hyped.
He was hyped indeed. Yeah. Or something.
Yes. Then both, I think you and I were, I don't want to say sexually assaulted because that's kind of a tough claim, but we were manhandled by waitresses in a bar that were trying to get us to do shots. That was a little uneasy feeling.
poor Chad. But like you mentioned, that was, and for me, that's probably been the Mania with the most WrestleMania moments, if you will. Not only was it the Ultimate Warrior, his Hall of Fame, which was great, and we also, by the way, want to throw this in real quick, ran into Jake the Snake Roberts. He was at a restaurant type place and was doing pictures and autographs, so we did that. That was cool. But having the opportunity to see the Warriors Hall of Fame induction, Daniel Bryan beating Triple H, going on to the main event, winning the World Heavyweight title, and the Cesaro winning the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which was a surprise, and Brock Lesnar ending the streak. I know you weren't as excited about that, but, I mean, you could hear the air being sucked out of that place, you know, when it happened, and it was so quick.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't expect Taker to lose, and I wasn't even paying attention to the match. And I remember, I think I was tweeting something, and all of a sudden I hear the bell ring, and I'm like, what just happened? So that was shocking. Don't forget Lita's Hall of Fame speech, which I believe is still going on to this day.
Yeah.
I got to
meet Neville again, which was awesome.
To meet Neville, and we were sitting on the floor, like three seats over from the rampway. So this is the one where, after the Battle Royal, when guys would come walking back, they would walk right past us, and I would be a smartass and yell comments at him, and that's when R-Truth got up in my face because he didn't like me telling him that he was eliminated, and that's what's up.
And being dressed like the Iron Sheik, you're lucky you didn't get your ass beat. So
he's lucky I didn't hobble him. but yeah, so that was I really think that my original plan was that was going to be our last WrestleMania, and so I think it would have been a good one to go out on. Obviously, we skipped last year at 31, and 32 we're going to mainly, I think, because they should have sold this place out and had the largest crowd ever, which I am curious to see. And I've been to AT&T Stadium when they've put in 105,000 people in for a concert, so I'm curious to see how big the crowd is and just what they do this year. And I think it's going to be an interesting trip in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. We will talk more about WrestleMania in the next couple of weeks. And, Chad, I mean, seriously, probably about 15 seconds here. Do you got anything else you want to say as we kind of wrap things up?
No, it's been a nice trip down memory lane, and then we'll get back to you next week for more.
That's right. I am on the road to spring break. That's why we are not talking about results from Roadblock. Is that what it's called? Roadblock? I can't even remember.
Roadblock.
But check out my123cents.com. Also, Facebook and Twitter will have thoughts going on all those pages. As always, folks, thanks so much for listening, subscribing, and checking out My123cents, the podcast.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.